The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
As we continue examining the doctrine of election as set forth in Romans 9, we come to the basis for God's electing grace. Why did He choose His people? What was the basis for His choice? Before we look at these questions, we must understand what election is not based upon. As we will see from Scripture, it's not based upon man's will or upon man's works. Join us today as we begin looking at these foundational principles about the basis of election.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Ah!
morning we want to go back to the book of Romans, the 9th chapter. Last week we had looked at the doctrine of election as it is laid out in the 9th chapter of the book of Romans. We had talked about some of the ways people try to explain election away, and we dealt with those what I consider false or misunderstood explanations of the doctrine of election, and then we talked about what election is. We are reading here in the 9th chapter, and we're going to begin this morning in the 11th chapter, the 11th verse, and just read a few verses, and then we're going to talk a little more about the doctrine of election itself. Now, by way of preview, Paul, being a being under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but also apparently being a pretty good lawyer, he anticipated the objections, and he lays out two of the most common objections to the doctrine of election that we find even today. And one being that, he said, is there unrighteousness with God? It just wouldn't be right. God wouldn't be right if election was the case. And then I call the other objection the absoluter objection, basically that God's making you do everything anyway, so why could he ever find fault? But we'll come back to that, Lord being our helper, maybe next time. But I want to continue on our discussion of election. And this morning I want us to talk about the basis of election and maybe also talk about some things we don't believe about the doctrine of election that we don't believe are taught in Scripture. So let's just begin reading in verse 11 just to get the context. Let's go to verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Now, can there be any doubt that it's the doctrine of election, the purpose of God according to election, that's under consideration here? We don't have to dig for that. He lays it out. He says, I'm telling you, this is about election, to show you about my purpose, God's purpose, according to election. Verse 12, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And just quickly I'll say that we've already dealt with that part. And the part that we're supposed to be focused on is the Jacob have I loved. The point of that is that, listen, Esau and Jacob were brothers. You go back to Malachi chapter 1, he'll tell you that's the whole point. He said, wherein hast thou loved us? Well, Jacob and Esau were brothers, and I loved Jacob and hated Esau. In other words, I could have left you alone just like I did Esau, but I didn't. I loved and showed you mercy. Verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And just quickly again, let me review what we said last time. This verse 15 is probably the greatest statement of the doctrine of election that you'll find anywhere in Scripture. And it shows us clearly that the doctrine of election, God's electing grace, is about his mercy and compassion. It's not about his wrath, as we'll hopefully get to this morning. Some teach that, well, God's predestinating grace, it involved predestinating some to heaven and predestinating some to hell. Beloved, we didn't need God's help to get to hell. We'll come back to that. But it's about his love in taking those who otherwise are bound for hell out of that category and placing them as sons. And ultimately, our sonship will result in us being forever with the Lord in heaven. And then he says, let's go back to verse 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So I want to preach a little more today on the doctrine of election, and I want to talk about the basis of election. But in order to talk about the basis and what it's based upon, I need to first talk about what it's not based upon, what election is not based upon. First of all, we read there in that verse 16 that it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Back up in verse 11, he says, that the purpose of God, he said, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him, that is God, who calleth. The God who calls us from darkness unto light, you see. So notice that, first of all, election is not based on works. It's not of works. Not of works, okay? Back down in verse 16, he says, it's not of him that runneth. That word run literally means run, but it means in general to exert oneself, to strive, or to spend one's strength in performing or attaining something. So if salvation is not about us exerting ourselves, spending our strength in performing or obtaining our own salvation, then what is it? Well, it's of God that showeth mercy, you see. It's not of works. The choice of Jacob, as we read in verse 11, is not of works. The word work there in Greek is the Greek word ergon, and it means toil. It means doing something, okay? Expending energy. The choice of Jacob was according to God's purpose in election, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of him, not of works, but of him that calleth. And he makes it clear that the choice of Jacob was before the children were capable of doing good or evil. It wasn't about what they had done. It wasn't about what they were going to do. He's making that clear to us. Did God know what they were going to do? Absolutely. But he's making it clear to us that's not the foundation of his choice. It's not about him seeing how good you would be and then deciding, oh, well, he's a good guy. I'm going to choose him. I want him on my team. You know, when we used to be on the playground and we'd pick sides, you know, you maybe playing touch football or something, you know, I was always the last guy picked. I never was. I was just hoping to get picked, you know, because I was not the first choice. There were others that were fine specimens of athletes, okay? They were much better than me. But I was the last one to get picked. But thank, praise God, you know, if I were in that, if that's the way God did it, if he looked for the best and he looked for the brightest and he looked for the goodest, if you will, if he was looking for the people who did right, I'd be the last one to be picked. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be picked. See, that's the problem with it being based on works. I know people that say that it's all about doing more good works than bad works. Well, if it is, I have no hope. I have no hope. Listen, you don't, I tell you this all the time. I'm so glad we're not Roman Catholics, so we don't have to confess to one another. I'm not going to tell you how bad I've been this week. My wife knows enough, but she doesn't even know everything. I hide a lot of the thoughts and of my heart. I keep them in my heart. Buddy Abernathy said one time, he said, I hope I never lose my mind, my mental faculties. He said, if I do, y'all just stay away, because it's only that keeps me from spewing out all the wicked stuff that's in my heart. If you think about it, If God were basing his electing grace upon our works, it wouldn't be grace, would it? What is grace? Unmerited favor. If you can work for it to get it, you merit it. You know, when I get paid, okay, I get paid each week or each month or every 2 weeks, whatever it is, I get paid based on what I've worked, okay? All right, I don't just get given money just because, I mean, every once in a while I've had somebody come up to me and, you know, give me a $50 or $20 or something for when I'm preaching somewhere. But even then, it's kind of based on my preaching, you know. They don't just walk up and give me things. But God has just walked up and given us his grace. It's not about our works. See, as I said, if it were based on works, it would mean we merited it. And there's a big problem with that. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 tells us about our righteousnesses, our works. Just turn with me over there for a minute. We usually quote it, but let's read it. Let's read it. Isaiah 64, and listen to this in verse 6. In Isaiah 64, 6, he says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You know, I hope, I've tried, I've striven
to do good works in my life. And that's what he's talking about here. I hope you've done some righteousnesses, some righteous acts, some good things, some good works. I try to. We ought to do good works. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But if I'm relying on my good works, my righteousnesses to get me to heaven, I got a problem. Because God says my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You say, but preacher, I got a bunch of righteousnesses. I've done a lot of good works. I got a pile of them over here. You know what you got a pile of? Filthy rags. And you know, a pile of filthy rags stinks worse than one filthy rag, doesn't it? If you're trying to lay out your righteousnesses before God as some sort of sacrifice to Him, as you're merited, as meriting His favor, it's nothing but a stench in the nostrils of God. See, if it was of works, it would mean we merit it, okay? But you know what Ephesians 2 and 8 says? He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, let me just deal with that for a moment. One of the problems that people, one of the reasons, I believe, that most people don't believe in the doctrine of election, even when they read it in the Scripture, is because by nature we all want to have a little something to do with our salvation, don't we? There's a little pride inside of us, you know. I like to look around sometimes and sit on my little hill over there and say, cross my arms and sit back and say, I'm doing pretty good, you know. Look what I've done. I got a little Pharisee in me. I don't know about you, but I got a little Pharisee in me. A little pride rises up from time to time. And I like to say, well, you know, I didn't do great this week, but I sure did better than oh so-and-so over here. And see, the problem with that is that if any of my salvation were based upon anything I do, then by nature, what I would do is I would latch on to that and I would be bragging about myself with that. I'd be walking up to the pearly gates, so to speak, and saying, Lord, you know, I'm so thankful for your sacrifice. I'm so thankful for your love. But I'm so glad I made the right decision. Let me show you my righteousnesses here. Let me show you my decisions. You know, by the way, did you know that making a decision is a work? We're going to talk about will here in a minute, but there's actually Brother Neil Honey, who's a scientist by trade and a medical doctor, obviously by trade too. But he made the statement one time from the stand. He said, "Work is defined as the expenditure of energy, and there's little electrical impulses in our brains that shoot back and forth whenever we make a decision." So when somebody says, "Well, I didn't do anything to get saved, I just accepted him," or "I just believed in him, I just exercised my faith." Well, exercise is a work, right? Beloved, when we make, some of the hardest work I've ever done is having to make decisions, sitting down and thinking about things and having to come to a conclusion. But we'll come back to that in a moment. But you see, if I'm, there's no proud Pharisee going to be walking the streets of gold saying, "Me and Jesus, we made it. Look what we did." See, we would boast. You know, think about this. Some have taught this, and that the way the Lord works is the Holy Spirit convicts and brings you up to a certain point, and then it's up to you to go just a little further. Sometimes it's more than others. Some have to be baptized, some other things, you know. But let's just say all you got to do is make the decision to move forward after the Holy Spirit convicts you and brings you to a certain point. Well, let's just say that you and I both are convicted by the Holy Ghost and both brought by the Holy Ghost to that exact same point. But then you make the decision to move on forward and get saved, if you will, and I make the decision not to. Who made the difference? Over in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is the 4th chapter there somewhere, he says, who hath caused thee to differ one from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Well, in that case, if we're both brought to the same place by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and you decided to accept Jesus and I decided not to, you made the difference, not God. Praise God, it's not that way. That's what the doctrine of election is all about. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We would tend to boast about that, you see, if it was left up to us. If it was based on works, we would merit it and would have somewhat to boast. But the problem with that is the condition that we're in by nature. By nature, we are dead in trespasses and in sins. By nature, there is no spiritual life within us. And we've already been taught in the book of Romans, back in the third chapter, go back and read verses 10 through about verse 18 at some point, because he talks about there's none good, no, not one. It's a good thing to believe in Christ. It's a good thing to accept Jesus, if you will. It's a good thing to serve him. Beloved, there's no good in us by nature. We have to be made good by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're told in Romans 8 and verses 7 and 8, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's not capable by nature, the carnal nature, of being subject to God. And we're going to get there, if we keep on through the book of Romans, we're going to get to the 11th chapter. And if you look over there just for a moment, you'll see in verse 5, he's talking about here among the children of Israel. And he says, even so then at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. We're talking about the doctrine of election again, see? Now look at verse 6. This is so important. I know you, all of us out here in the country have probably at some point or another changed the oil in our vehicles or tractors, or at least seen it done. And I don't know what, how it was with y'all, but we would change the oil. We put it in the, you know, get a 5-gallon bucket to catch it, and usually leave it sitting right outside. We should have put it up, so we'd usually leave it sitting right outside where it could get rained on, okay? And after it rained a little bit, you go back to that bucket, and what you'd see is you'd see about 4 or 5 inches of water on top and the rest of it oil. And you know why that is? Because oil and water don't mix. They don't mix. That's the same way it is with grace. Listen to this. If by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Grace and works don't mix. They're worse than oil and water. They're worse than oil and water. Grace and works do not mix. It's impossible to do that. And therefore, our salvation and the electing grace of God goes back to unmerited favor. Grace, if it's merited, it's earned, and grace can never be earned. You say, well, preacher, I believe that. I don't believe it's about works. But don't you have to exercise your will? Don't you have to make a decision in order for God to ultimately choose you? Don't you have to choose him? Well, go back to what we said in verse 16 of Romans 9. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That word willeth there is a Greek word that means just to be resolved or to determine or to purpose. Okay? I am resolved no longer to linger. There's a song out there about that. Now, if you understand what grace is all about, it's a good song. After we've been shown grace, we ought to be resolved no longer to linger, and we ought to press into the kingdom of God. But most people understand that, I believe, in a sense of I have to be resolved to get myself into that number. But, beloved, notice it says it's not about him that willeth. It's not about him that runneth, that's the works, but it's not about him that willeth. It's not about your will. As a matter of fact, if it comes down to your will by nature, John 5:40 says, you will not come unto me that you might have life. And as I've said so many times, that's not an invitation, that's an indictment of the human will. By nature, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. So by nature, we will not come to him. By nature, we do not believe and trust in him. We do not receive the things of the kingdom of God, and moreover, we cannot. And that's what he says in John 6:44, is it not? John 6:44 says, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. You know, that's a glorious promise, isn't it? You can't come to him by nature. But if you've been drawn to him, you can rest assured you'll be raised up at the last day. See, that's the beauty of election. That's the beauty of the doctrine that we're talking about here. The electing grace of God is the most beautiful, sweetest, most precious doctrine there is, because it tells me that no matter how wicked a sinner I feel myself to be, I'm secure in the grace of God. As I said, we're going to talk about, there's a lot of things we ought to be doing as children of God. There's ways we ought to live. There's things we ought to shun. We ought to be crucifying the flesh. But beloved, I don't know anybody that's been able to do that perfectly. And God demands perfect obedience to His law. Praise God, we have a Savior who was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, who did all things well, who lived the law on our behalf. And that's what grace is all about.
We're going to pause the message here for now. We want you to join us again tomorrow, where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.